You turn, be pleased, to the passage we read in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness or endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to Timothy, who has a difficult job of being effectively the pastor in Ephesus. He is, of course, an evangelist, a bit like a deputy for an apostle, but he is there in Paul's place, teaching and leading the church. And therefore, this letter is especially directed to him, and from that we might see also most appropriate to those who would be pastors of the flock of Christ, to those who are ministers of the word. But in saying that, surely we are to see that much that is written is for all of God's people. And the words here surely are applicable to all the saints, every believer. Surely to them it can be said, as well as Timothy, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul, no doubt, was very familiar with Roman soldiers. He had experienced prison life. He would have been brought up aware of Roman soldiers, but especially he would have observed them close at hand in their work. And just as the Roman soldier was called to serve in the empire, so Christ has called each believer to serve in his kingdom. Every believer is one who is called and who is enrolled in the service of Christ, engaged to be the Lord's. That is what we are. And when you think of baptism, one of the things that stands there, it speaks of that engagement to be the Lord's, and that speaks to all of us constantly. Into whose name are we baptized? It is the name of the triune God. Whose name upon us? Who is it that owns us, as it were? To whom have we been set apart? It is Jesus Christ and our triune God. We are called, therefore, to serve in his kingdom, to fight for him. What does that mean in practice? Well, we might see it in two levels. First of all, there is the advancement of the kingdom of God in the soul. You remember the words of our Saviour, the kingdom of God is within you. There is an aspect of the kingdom of God which therefore is personal. Whenever a person comes to faith in Christ, Christ takes possession of that soul. He becomes the Lord and Master. And yet, a battle goes on. There is the battle against indwelling sin, against corruption. Perhaps you have that portrayed admirably for us in John Bunyan's Holy War, a reminder that there is this battle. And therefore we are called to advance the kingdom of God within our own soul, to wage war against those things which oppose the rule of Christ in our own lives. And then we might think of the kingdom of God outside us. We might think of the advancement of the kingdom of God in the earth, of how God's people are as foot soldiers in his army, seeking the advance for the kingdom of God, seeking to be witnesses for Christ, so living that they might advance the influence of Christ wherever they can. And here, Timothy is reminded of the calling he has and given encouragement to persevere. And therefore, let us look at that we might see the calling that we have if we are believers, and that we might persevere in that calling. Thou, therefore, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We'll notice two things in the text and in the context. Firstly, the good soldier's character, and then secondly, the good soldier's motivation. What keeps him going? First of all, we shall notice the good soldier's character. We might say two things about his character. He is a serving man, and he is a suffering man. Firstly, he's a serving man. Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here is someone who is in service. To whom is that service owed? Well, he's someone who serves Christ. Think of the people of this world. Think of those who own no loyalty to Christ, though they should acknowledge him. They serve the world. They serve themselves. They serve sin. They serve Satan. They do anything but serve the Lord. And yes, there was a time in the experience of God's people when they too were in sin, when they too were foolish and disobedient, when they too were the children of wrath, even as others. When you look back, don't you see what a poor master, the service of self and of sin and of Satan was, promising much but never fulfilling what it promised, bringing hurt often to yourself, often to others. Aren't you glad to be done with the service of sin? Don't you look on with pity those who still serve themselves, serve sin, serve Satan, poor souls, deluded in bondage. Now you serve Christ. There's Timothy. He is a soldier of Jesus Christ. He is under the banner of Christ. He has the best of masters. He is one who is a good master, one who gave his life that he might deliver him, that he might serve. Is it not true that since coming to know Christ, that you have found that you have a good master, and that his service is a path of blessing to yourself and to others? What a transformation comes into a home when Christ comes into the home. What a disaster when a young person leaves a home rejecting Christ. But it is a forsaking of the best master that there is. Well, there is Timothy. He serves Christ. How good it is to remember who we serve, whose we are, and whom we serve. How that fortifies us when we remember these things. I am a Christian. Shall I just give way to temptation and sin? I must serve him. And I must seek what is good for his kingdom and his glory. How can I do such a thing, said Joseph, and sin against my God? What a betrayal of God and his kindness to me. The good soldier, he's a serving man. He serves Christ. We all serve something. What do you serve? What sort of master do you have? There's only one great master, Jesus Christ. He serves Christ, you'll notice. He's one who serves obediently. The soldier is someone who is under orders. He is one who therefore is called to obey. And so it is. The believer is under orders to Christ. Are we not to see this daily? You know, so many in the church think that Christ is there for salvation, deliverance from hell, and have no thought of serving Christ. Well, they'll go so far, but they don't see it. That if they are actually enrolled in the service of Christ, they serve their master. They do whatever he says. And they're not to question what he says. That's what the devil tries to get us to do. That's what he did with Adam and Eve at the beginning. Ye hath God said this. How often? That's how he tries to twist us into the way of sin. Does God really mean you don't need to do that? Or you do need to do this thing? Oh no, God's people are under orders to Christ. And surely what we should say continually is, not my will, but thine be done. And you'll notice there in verse 2, there's a stress on Timothy that he was to receive, as he had received the truth, so he was to convey that truth to others. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Others know what you heard. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy, service, his obedient service would mean faithfully declaring the truth. In that way, he would be a good soldier. Jesus Christ. People might not want to hear what they have to say. That was beside the point. Friends, let us be those who serve obediently, who take delight in whatever Christ says, and who do whatever he does, at whatever cost, because we are in service to Christ. You'll notice that he also serves constantly. He was to endure hardness. He was to go on bearing hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And therefore he was serving. Now the Roman soldier, he was not allowed to marry. He was not allowed to follow a trade. He was not allowed to get involved in the common affairs of this life. No man at warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So the Roman soldier was one who had to be 100% committed to his task, that he might be ready at any time to fight for the empire. Well, are you always aware of that commitment? Do you have that 100% commitment? Do you see that there is never a time when you are not called to serve Christ? That you're always in a battle. And if at times there seems to be a bit of relaxation, it is actually preparation for a future battle. You know, when we lose sight of these things, that's when we drift. That's when we can grow cold. Do you see it? That all that you have, that all that your time, all your energy, all that you have is to be laid at the feet of Christ. Lord, this is thine. Use it for thy glory. Show me how I may use my home, my possessions, my time, my energy in the service of the Savior. Help me in that battle against sin. Help me to serve constantly. Let us remember, all things are lawful, and yet not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but as Paul said, you would not be brought into bondage by anything. Isn't that the spirit we need if we are going to be serving men and women? You notice he's not only a serving man, he's a suffering man. He says, endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's someone who was going to be exposed to the deprivations of a soldier's life. The soldier's life would be very different from the life of the senator in Rome. The soldier's life is one of hardship. He may be deprived of his family, sent away on a long errand, apart from friends, apart from family. He may find that there's a poor fare of the battlefield as opposed to the banquets of Rome or some other Roman city. Yes, there are hardships if we are going to serve Christ. And yet, is it not true of God's people that they can say that though they have abandoned much, yet really there has been no deprivation whatsoever? Are you not done with sin? Now there are not many other things which, even though they are lawful, they've lost their taste. They don't have the same attraction. You find better things. The things of the gospel, the fellowship of God's people, and serving Christ and seeking to do what we can for the welfare of God's cause and to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. They're the things that matter to you now. Well, the world may think that you lose out. And yes, there might be times when you may be even tempted to think that way. But as you look, stop and think, you realize there is no loss for Christ. When, after Martin Lloyd-Jones, the man who was going to be a top Harley Street consultant, ended up in the ministry, some would say to him, "Did you give up so much to be a minister?" He would turn around and say to him, "I gave up nothing." Is that not the spirit we're to have if we're serving men and women? He's exposed to the deprivations of a soldier's life. He's exposed to danger. Well, no doubt Timothy was aware of the attacks of Satan. Trials would come, troubles would come. Often God's people have more trials than the people of this world. Certainly more temptations, because there are things which come. And the devil sets his target on them and tries to shake their faith, to trouble them, to disturb them with unbelief. if you were a true Christian, if the gospel was true, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in.
Satan loves to attack the people of God to get them down.
God's people.
They are soldiers exposed to danger.
And you'll notice how Paul goes on and speaks of his own trouble. He says, "For when I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." He's writing in a situation where he's been persecuted. The hardships speak even of such things. Sometimes you lose out because you're honest, because you're being truthful, because you will not do certain things which compromise basic Christian principles or lead to denial of God's commandments. There are hardships that come. You'll notice Paul wants to encourage Timothy here. And so he not only sets before him the fact that he is a serving man, showing the sort of character the good soldier is, a serving man and a suffering man. You'll notice, secondly, he shows him the good soldier's motivation. He gives him encouragement to maintain a faithful witness and to continue that fight, the good fight of faith in his own soul. Notice, secondly, the good soldier's motivation. And we might think of four things which show the sort of motivation that we have, things to encourage us in this enduring of hardship and serving Christ. First of all, gratitude for our captain's salvation. Who is it that you serve? Is it Jesus Christ? Well, what does he mean to you? Is he not your wonderful Saviour? The one who has delivered you from sin. The one who has reconciled you to God. The one who has brought you into fellowship with God. You are blessed in having such a Saviour. And you think of the cost at which he provided that salvation. It was not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from your vain conversation, deceived by tradition from your fathers, says Peter, but with the precious blood of Christ. Think of all his sufferings. Think of all that he had to endure in the cross. Are you not grateful to Christ? Are you not amazed that he would come into this world to save the likes of you, that it would cost them the horror of the cross and death itself? Can you not see? Anything I lose, so I might lose out, outwardly speaking, and things as I serve Christ. Anything I lose is nothing compared to what Christ had to give. Anything I suffer is nothing compared to the trials and the troubles which he had to get through. Any humiliation that I might know is nothing compared to what it meant for the one who is the eternal Son of God to become man. He who was rich becoming poor, becoming obedient unto the death of the cross. Remember that constantly. Who your captain is, what he's done for you. Will that not motivate you to serve him? A second motivation, be grateful for your captain's calling. Be grateful for your captain's calling. The captain of our salvation has enrolled us in his army. When
somebody enrolled you, what were you like? Did they not find you in your sin? In your rebellion against them? Why did he choose you? Was it because he knew you were, there was something special in you and you would be of great help to him with only a little bit of reformation? No such thing. It was all of grace. He called you by his grace. When you were without strength, when you were a rebel, when there was nothing in you to make you serviceable to him, he called you by grace. Be thankful that you have been brought to Christ. Be thankful that he called you. Are you not amazed that he bothered with you? Paul was. When you read his first letter to Timothy, he speaks of what he was before his conversion. He speaks of the fact he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelievably. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Friend, is it not amazing? A soul of Tarsus should be used greatly for the advancement of the kingdom of God. How grateful he was for that call. When you think of John Newton, slave ship captain, he becomes a preacher of the gospel. Amazing grace. Sweet the sound that saved a great slave. You think of John Bunyan and his grace abounding to the chiefest of sinners. What God can do. We could multiply examples. See daily the great privilege that you have. That others have not had. Why did God bother with you? A privilege to serve Christ. Serve him gladly. Serve him faithfully. Because he has chosen you to be a soldier, as we have it in verse 4. Here's a third reason. Confidence in our captain's leadership. Unless the soldiers are confident of the leadership, in the leadership, there's not much hope of success. Well, we have a good commander. Timothy is called to be a good soldier, but a good soldier under a good commander. We have enrolled on the side of the one who's going to have the victory. What a privilege, therefore, to fight on under Christ. You will win the battle against sin. The kingdom of God within you shall triumph. The kingdom of God shall triumph in this world. Let us never forget that. And think of his leadership. Your captain does not ask you to do something not done himself. Or there are many managers and captains who would refuse to do many things and make sure those under them did them. Menial, dirty, horrible jobs. Our captain is not like that. He is a forerunner who has gone before us. He has battled all the way. He knows what it is to battle against sin.
He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He engaged with the devil and was not overcome, but rather overcame him. And he had the last enemy to face, death itself. And he overcame death by dying on the cross for his people. He is a captain who has won his way through this battle, who did all that was necessary that he might establish and ensure the victory of the kingdom of God in the universe. He is one who knows our situation. He is one who is able to guide us and help us. We have a good leader. We can have confidence in him. It's said that an army fights in its stomach. Unless there's food, the army aren't going to do very well. The soldier needs provisions. Well, we can have confidence that Christ will provide for us. Has not promised to supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is not his grace sufficient for us? Who knows what you're going to have to face tonight, never mind tomorrow? Who knows what temptations, what trials? Who knows what circumstances, as you're called to be a witness to friends and family and workmates, and how you will be able to respond? But well, remember, your leader will provide for you. He will help you. Let us be confident in his grace. Yes, it may be that you feel often your weakness and your helplessness. You feel inadequate. But remember this. Christ was able to empower Paul, Timothy, and he can do for that for you as well. So, let us be thankful for Christ. Let us be grateful for our calling, and let us have confidence in our captain's leadership. A fourth encouragement, the desire for the captain's pleasure. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The soldier often wants to please his master. And we want to repay the confidence that the captain has placed in himself. Well, when you think of Christ, he has blessed us. And surely the great question is, how can we repay him? What shall I render to the Lord for all his goodness to me? How can I please him? Is that how you live day by day? What can I do today to please the Lord? As you live, to think not just, well, how shall I satisfy and please me, myself, and get through today? What can I do that will give pleasure to Christ my Master? Your joy in serving Christ? Or surely we should have. And if we have a desire to please him who hath called us to be a soldier, then our great desire that we will with joy serve Christ. We will not want to offend him. Our desire will to be found doing his will. And our great passion will be to commend Christ
so to live that we commend Christ, so to live that we might be known as the people who serve Christ, as in under his banner, as those who would serve him. How often in the forces you would find that men would have such a high view of their chief officer, people who served under Wellington and others, that they would do nothing, a desire to do nothing that would displease the master, but rather do all that would give him pleasure. But is that not the case with us? Let our great desire be to give our captain pleasure and serve him. There's a fifth thing. Desire for the captain's commendation. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. But he serves, wanting to please the captain. For the soldier will receive the well done. The good captain is one who takes note of the soldiers. Doesn't Christ know you personally? Does he not know all about us? And does he not delight in the faithful service of his people? Does it not give him joy to see his people fighting a good fight of faith, growing in holiness, serving him? Does it not give him joy as he sees them being as lights in a dark world, holding forth the word of truth? Surely he will commend us. How does he do that? Well, he does that now with the answer of a good conscience. How often he gives us peace, even if there are troubles. And that in itself, that answer of a good conscience and that sense of peace in his presence, surely is a form of commendation. A well done. So that's a wonderful thing to have, even though it might lead to difficulties, because you've chosen the right path, which is a difficult path. And then over the day of judgment, well done, thou good and faithful soldier, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I hope we should be striving after. Let us therefore endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful privilege to be under the banner of such a glorious Saviour. Let us be faithful. Let us wage war against sin within. Let us do all that we can for the advancement of the kingdom of God within. Let us do all to please him who hath called us to be a soldier. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we thank thee for thy words of truth. We bless thee for that grace that reaches down to your sinners. We thank thee that in Christ there is a glorious, full and free salvation. O bring many to share in it, we pray. And grant us grace to be faithful in our own day, lest thy truth to us. May we fight the good fight of faith, the hold of eternal life, and rejoice in Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, in whose name we pray. Amen.